This is the Common Sense Compliance Podcast series from EFG Companies. Each month we break through the legalese surrounding compliance to deliver actual information in an easy-to-understand language for immediate use in your efforts to maintain profitable compliance. I'm your host, Steve Renau, Vice President of Compliance at EFG Companies, and at this time I'd like to introduce to you our guest for today's podcast, Trevor Lane. Trevor is a regulatory attorney and founder of Lexaline, a public benefit corporation that creates online apps for compliance. Welcome, Trevor. Today we're going to discuss customer information security, the legal framework, and what dealers need to be mindful of. So, Trevor, what are the regulations pertaining to customer security?
Steve, under federal law, there's the Grand Reach Riley Act and the regulations federal agencies have issued implement the Act, including the safeguards rule. In addition, certain states have additional requirements.
Okay, well, thanks for that broad overview. What are some of the risks involved?
There are both legal and business risks involved. As for the legal risk, the FTC enforces the safeguards rule, which means it could start an investigation or bring a court action aiming to remedy and punish violations. In addition, if a company makes inaccurate statements to the public regarding how it protects and what it does with customer data, for instance, that data on its website that all customer data is encrypted, or that it never sells customer data, and that turns out to be incorrect, the FTC has said that constitutes an unfair or deceptive act of practice, which you can enforce under its UDAP authority. On top of that, there are, in some states, additional requirements that the AGs enforce. If anything, the legal risks are increasing. Some states are considering creating a consumer ladder action, for instance, for data breaches under certain circumstances. But perhaps even more significant is the business risk. An enforcement action or publication of a data breach can lead to negative press and damage to the dealer's reputation and goodwill. Consumers are becoming increasingly concerned with data security. And what could happen to them if their sensitive financial data falls in the wrong hands?
Well, Trevor, no dealer wants to be on the 6 o'clock news, so what should dealers be doing to address these risks and maintain compliance?
There are several questions dealers need to ask themselves when it comes to securing their customer information. First, do they have a written information security program? Is that program based on their own security risk assessment? And that means, have they taken stock of the data practices? Have they identified reasonably foreseeable risks that could result in an authorized disclosure or compromise of their consumer data? And have they assessed the adequacy of the safeguards they have in place? In addition, have they designated a person responsible for customer information security? And is that person an employee with the authority to implement the program? Then there's the service providers. How do they oversee service providers, that might have access to or take possession of their customer information? Do the agreements with the service providers require them to implement appropriate safeguards? As to internal safeguards, what is the dealer doing to protect customer information from the moment it is collected all the way through to disposal? Does the dealer have sufficient training, oversight, and procedures for that?
Well, Trevor, that's a lot of information, a lot of questions to ask. But let's talk about those protective measures using a common scenario. One of the most common pieces of information dealers take are driver's license. A customer comes in for a test drive and the salesperson takes a copy of the license before going on the test drive. Trevor, what procedures should dealers have in place to protect that information?
That's a great point, Steve, because dealers must secure their paper records, not just electronic records. What happens if you take a paper with an image of the customer's license? Is it sitting on a desk? Is it locked in the copier? In either case, it's not protected. Are these salespeople trained to put all private information in locked drawers? If they don't have lockable drawers, can they hand it to an associate, like a sales manager, to keep it secure? Once the information is no longer needed, what's the process for disposal? Do dealers have secure vendor bins for offset shredding? Finally, do dealers have a training and oversight to ensure employees use the secure resources available for disposal, that no private information ends up in an open online event?
Yeah, Trevor, those are great points. Let's go back to the initial copy. What do dealers need to be aware of when it comes to digitally securing private information?
See, what reviewers may not be aware of is how the use of a copy machine presents risks under the safeguard rule. There are electronic records of that license on the copy hard drive. So, is the drive encrypted? Is it protected by a passcode? Is it being wiped on a regular basis? What happens to the drive once the copy is disposed of? If the copy is leased, is there an agreement in place allowing the dealer to wipe or destroy the drive after the event?
That's a great point. Let me ask, another digital tool most dealers use is the CRM, where a lot of private information is held on their customers. What do dealers need to be aware of with their use of their CRM?
In the case of CRM, dealers need to be aware of both the requirements for physical and digital safeguards. From the physical standpoint, the customer records hosted in the CRM are actually stored on either a computer or server. So how is that physical device itself secured from theft? If the information is stored on a computer, is that computer secured and stable? If the information is stored on the server, is the server locked to a rack or fixture? Who has keys or access to the device? How are dealers making sure that only people with legitimate needs have access to that device? In the case of electronic threats, are the records encrypted and protected by firewalls? Have they installed security software like antivirus software? And are those programs configured to update automatically? It would be funny with the authority to install patches, updates, and disseminate information on security risks. Those are some of the aspects that you should be mindful of.
Well, Trevor, that's a lot of information. And a really good point about locking computers down. I don't see that often. One of the points you made a few times is the importance of performing a security risk assessment. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how a dealer can do that?
Sure. Performing a security risk assessment is the foundational step in having an information security program. That means that a dealer that buys an off-the-shelf program is arguably in breach of the law because the law requires that the program be based on the dealer's own risk assessment. Legally, the dealer can do the assessment themselves, but most don't because they don't know how. And as a result, dealers often hire experts to perform the assessment, and in the past, the cost for those assessments has been high. But we believe they may be coming down because companies like Westline are creating automated tools for this need. In fact, we're in the testing phase of a security assessment app that we look forward to launching in the spring. It's an online app that's designed to be used by auditors, compliance officers, or managers to use to do their own security risk assessment.
Well, that's exciting. Trevor, where can dealers find more information on your app and the services that you and Lexaline provide?
All you need to do is go online and go to the URL www.lexaline.com, and that's LexaLign.com.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And before we sign off, is there a final tip that you'd like to provide for our audience?
You know, talking about this can be very broad and kind of complicated, but in practice, it's a good idea to incentivize good security hygiene by making it fun for employees to enforce it among themselves. For example, I've seen some companies that have practiced that where anybody leaves a computer with an unlocked screen unattended, any other employees can go and send a funny email such as, "I just compromised the company's data security," to the entire staff from that employee's computer. And in essence, that shames the employees being more mindful. That particular practice might not be the right practice for a dealer, but it's an example of how companies can use fun games to effectively police their staff.
Yeah, making it a little more fun is always, or can be, a good idea. I've seen a similar deal where instead of doing the safeguard walk, you know, looking for things unlocked and drawers and such, the manager will simply take a phony consumer file and leave it out somewhere and watch it and see how long it takes for an employee to actually discover it and do the right thing with the file, and then, of course, hopefully reward that employee. So lots of good ideas for that. I appreciate your time today, Trevor, and want to thank you for attending. And thanks for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, please rate us in Google Play or in iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to hear more Common Sense Compliance. For more information on these topics and more, visit EFGIntelligence.com.
And EFG Productions.